is Tom Healy. I'm 70 years old, retired federal law enforcement from Texas. When I became a Christian, I, like most Christians, was dropped into the details of the Bible, and I was confused. About 7 years ago, I tuned in about show. He caught my interest, so I tuned in again and again. This guy made sense, and he was espousing wisdom that I knew in my heart was right. And it agreed with Scripture many times to my surprise. Bob had authored a Bible study called The Plot, an overview of the Bible, which was mentioned quite often on the show. Clergy would call and say, I've been a minister for 20 years, and after reading The Plot, I now understand the Bible. This caught my attention as I had read the Bible until I was cross-eyed. After the third clergyman called, I ordered The Plot. Hey, it had a money-back guarantee. When I finished reading it, I wanted to dance on my kitchen table. Hallelujah, God's word is now clear. To order, call 1-800-8-INYART, that's E-N-Y-A-R-T, or 1-800-836-9278, that's 1-800-836-9278, or go online at kgov.com, that's kgov.com. Thank you very much.
Warning, this truth of a head, it gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church, and America's most popular self-proclaimed right-wing religious fanatic, homophobic, anti-choice talk show host. Our phone number, 800-8-ENYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Here are the headlines we'd like to cover today. A boy, 14 years old in England, raped four young girls, ages 7 through 10, and he was just sentenced yesterday to 4 years in lockup. So that was covered by Jamie Johnson of the Faith and Freedom Network earlier today, and we thought we would follow up on Jamie's excellent reporting and discussion of that. And then we have the confrontation at the Capitol, the Colorado State Capitol, of the Reverend Fred Phelps and family. And Reverend Phelps is so despicable that, you know, we think he's funded by Michael Moore and George Soros. We're not sure on that, but there's evidence for it. And and the media would invent them anyway. The media would invent the Phelps family if they did not exist, because they make Christians, they tarnish Christianity. And that's an accusation that's made against those of us at Bob Enyart Live here now and then. So we'll get to that, and we'll take our first call on that topic in a couple minutes. Walmart has responded to an email I sent to them saying that we're going to start boycotting or resisting shopping at Walmart to the best we're able to, because they're selling this abortifacient, and Walmart will become America's number one abortion provider. And so you got to hear the response we got back from Walmart. By the way, on a future show next week, we're going to read an email that one of our listeners sent to Focus on the Family, and he got a reply back, similar to others we've done, but this reply was written by James Dobson with a handwritten note on the bottom. So we'll get to that, and we'll get that on the web for you. And then this girl missing for 10 years in Pennsylvania, she had been taken by a man who did maintenance work at her public school and kept in his home, mostly in a bedroom, for 10 years. One of those bizarre relationships where the young girl ends up staying somewhat willingly, but manipulated and in fear. And then finally, ABC News is publishing details about an Iraqi archives document which indicates that Saddam Hussein himself personally approved of cooperation at some level, considering how they might be able to work with Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden. Pretty significant. So those are the stories we'd like to discuss today. But first, I'm going to go to the phones to DIA, Denver International Airport. John, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hello, Bob. Greetings.
Thank you, sir. What's up?
Yes, sir. I just wanted to know, what do you know about this Howard Fletz and his church organization? Have you had any run-ins with them before, or do you know any background of
a little
who
bit.
They are?
Yeah, the Westboro. Yeah, they are a filthy family. By filthy, I mean Fred Phelps' daughters, when they're witnessing, they'll use four-letter words, the most vulgar, filthy words, because they think they're effectively communicating, I don't know what. They're just disgusting. And we think they might be funded by Michael Moore. Because, John, if they didn't exist, the media would invent them. And since Michael Moore mostly invents the things he reports, we're thinking he probably invented the Phelps.
Possibly.
Yeah, but they're despicable. From the Westboro Baptist Church in Topeka, Kansas. And it's mostly Fred Phelps and his family.
So he's just go ahead.
No, that's it. And they are despicable. And you know the sad thing is the media does something terrible.
The only good Christian is a bad Christian.
Say that again?
The only good Christian is a bad Christian that we can make an example of.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That's what the media thinks.
Well, the media loves this, right? And what the media does is they smear all Christians with these people, right?
They're the rulers, yeah.
That's what the media does. Now, I'll tell you what Christians do. Christians smear all activists, pro-life activists, with these people.
Ooh.
And which is worse?
True.
Which is worse? Which is a more egregious sin? What the media is doing, the secular media, smearing all Christians with the Phelps brush, tarnish, or Christians smearing all Christian activists and pro-lifers with the Phelps tarnish? Which is worse?
Christians smearing Christians. It destroys the body itself.
That's right. And Christians have a greater obligation to God and to judge with righteous judgment, and especially within the body of Christ.
And so, this Fletz, he doesn't have any concern or love for America or about homosexuals at all or the truth of the Bible. He's just out there to outlet his anger for...
Well, I don't know that I could psychoanalyze him, but his overall presentation is absurd, and it's a joke, and it's a mockery to God.
Well, Bob, it's a good thing we have good men like you out there who really do care about people and care about the world.
Well,
and only come forward to help stop people from hurting themselves and each other as well, you know?
Well, John, thank you.
A man like you out
thank
there.
You very, very much. I appreciate your encouragement. God bless you, John.
God bless you, my friend.
Okay. So the number here, 1-800-8-NYART, 1-800-836-9278. Sometimes people call up and say, Bob, you're the only show. And we say, no, there are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to legal positivism. 7,000. Isn't that what the Bible says? There are 7,000 who have not bowed the knee to the process. Something like that. I'm quoting it, you know, from memory. All right. So in Greater Manchester in England, the UK, this is being reported in the Mirror, the London Mirror. This 15-year-old boy is now just been locked up for 4 years for raping four girls aged 7, 8, and 10. And you know what? This must have been a shock to him and his family. There were two 7-year-olds. An 8-year-old girl and a 10-year-old girl. There was actually a fifth girl, and this was at a park, and he lured these girls into the bushes that they were going to play a game, and he told them that he would kill them or whip them with a belt if they didn't go along, and they were young and afraid. Well, the oldest girl did run. And she asked passersby for help. And part of the story is the shock in England that none of the passersby would would help. And when a young girl is asking for help, you think, you know, you think people would be concerned. But part of one of the symptoms of liberalism, where the government comes in to help people who are in need, is that destroys the feeling of community and neighborly concern, and even families. Because liberals and even Christians say, well, you know, if somebody's really in trouble, they need that welfare. They need the government. No, when somebody's really in trouble, they need one another. And if the government is there, then families get weakened, neighborhoods and churches get weaker, and your dependence on the government gets stronger, and the government then has another wedge to turn people away from God. So liberals are stupid. And Christians who go along with these liberal, godless, humanist ideas and programs are foolish. What a tragedy. So anyway, the family of this kid and the kid himself must have been shocked, because liberals are so inconsistent, right? They think, oh, kids, there's no such thing as a bad kid. And of course, kids are going to have sex. Kids have been having sex from the beginning of time. What are you? You're unreasonable. You're unreasonable. You want to have high expectations on children? That's unreasonable. Don't you know they evolved from animals? They're just animals. So that's liberalism. And they have low expectations on children. And amazingly, the young people meet the low expectations. And sometimes they surpass them in a downward direction. So this kid, it was porn obsessed, obsessed with pornography. The parents of the victims were horrified. They said the innocence of our daughters was cruelly stolen from them, and they will never be the same again. And that's true. These girls will never be the same again, neither will the parents. Now, it's possible they could overcome it, yes. Through God, they could overcome this. They could go on to have a semblance of a normal life, and through God, of course, they could have eternal salvation. But the media and the police and nobody's concerned about the girl's salvation. That's not even a consideration in post-Christian Europe. That's utterly irrelevant. And it's largely irrelevant even here in America in so many different contexts, ways of looking at crime. But it's true that they will never be the same again. Even if a victim of a crime becomes a Christian, now that's wonderful. Everyone should turn to Christ and ask him to save them. But if you're the victim of a crime, you will never be the same again. You could be redeemed, saved, have eternal life, but things that we lose are lost eternally. Opportunities are lost eternally. The things that you decide and the actions you take today will affect eternity. They will affect eternity. So don't believe this scam that lures Christians into a state of apathy and a victim mentality that everything is pre-programmed. Don't buy into that. Because if you don't share the gospel with your family members because you think it's all set anyway, that is a perfect apathetic excuse to do nothing, isn't it? And you know what? When you go to be with the Lord, the tears that you will shed because you realize you believed an excuse, a lie, not to share the gospel with your loved ones. So don't do that. Don't accept that. It's better to be upset now and deal with it than later when it's too late. So they will never be the same again. That's true. And the boy, they're not allowed to name the kiddies who commit rapes and murders and kidnappings. You wouldn't want to do that, right? You don't want to name him the little rapist. You might hurt his feelings if you named him, and his parents might be embarrassed. It's like at Columbine, you have the Harris family, the Klebold family, and they allowed the internet, and they allowed the internet to raise their kids. They were enablers, letting their kids have an arsenal of guns and bombs, and were completely irresponsible, reckless parents, and allowed the broken culture to raise their kids into murderers. And then they go on to claim, oh, you know, We were such great parents. Well, how could that be if you're so uninvolved in your kid's life? So they cannot name the little rapist. And the police have said in court that the boy had been exposed to extreme and crude pornography. And I have no doubt about that. No doubt about that. And those liberals who say it takes a village, Hillary wrote a book on that, right? Hillary wrote a book, It Takes a Village to Raise, I always forget the name of it, Takes a Village to Raise an Idiot, Takes a Village to Watch My Husband, what? Takes a Village to Raise a Child, that's it. Takes a Village to Raise a Child, and you know, they're so concerned about giving money to programs that supposedly have the best interest of the kid in mind, but they don't seem to care about the pornography that floods our culture, that destroys the minds of millions of young boys as they grow up. So then we have the girl who was kidnapped. Well, is kidnapping the wrong word? She was missing for 10 years when she was 14 years old. This is in McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And she just showed up on Tuesday, walked into a convenience store, and told the store owner who she was. And there they recognized, whoa, you're the girl who's been missing for 10 years. Her name is Tanya Koch. And she was 14 years old and a maintenance worker at her school. Got her interest. He was 37 years old. And was that his age? You know, he might have been 10 years younger at the time, 27 years old. And she's 14 years old, and children are children, and they're foolish. They lack wisdom. And adults who are child molesters, now Christians do this. They say, oh, but there's a homosexual at my job, and he's so nice. He's so nice. He's the nicest guy I ever met. Of course he is. He's homosexual. Child molesters, if there's a child molester on your block, now not every homosexual is a child molester. Why did I have to say that? For liberal listeners who cannot think straight and they're into non sequiturs. I didn't say every homosexual is a child molester. But if there is a child molester on your block, he is the nicest guy on the street. The kids will like him more than they will like you, as a general rule. Somebody who's trying to get young girls into prostitution, a pimp, is the nicest guy they ever met up to that point in their lives. Somebody trying to get kids to do drugs, crack cocaine, is the nicest guy they ever met until that moment. Now, Jesus, on the other hand, he was not always all that nice. Sometimes he was downright rude and confrontational. And he rebuked people, and he made them feel extremely uneasy and uncomfortable. Very often, he rebuked them to their faces. And if their face wasn't around, he'd rebuke them anyway. So that's the real Jesus. We've invented the nicer-than-God Jesus, and we Christians have become nicer than God. And so we think, well, you can't. I mean, protest? Come on, you can't protest. That's rude. You know, Jesus would never stand outside of a building and condemn the people inside the building. He would never do that. It would be beneath him. Jesus was very Christian in the way he behaved. That's so foolish, right? It's foolish. So anyway, this girl seduced by this guy, because how nice he is. She thinks her parents are rotten. And the more wicked our culture becomes, MTV, sitcoms, the whole bit, movies, then the more our good parents seem like tyrants. That's the more our good parents restrict their kids. They have to protect their kids, the more our culture becomes immoral and dangerous. And so that's what makes it all so insidious. Kids get angry at the best parents. Because most kids don't have the wisdom to appreciate how difficult it is for their parents to say, no, you can't go do that with all your friends. One good way to handle that is to make sure that your kids' friends are kids of other conservative Christian families, homeschool families, real fundamentalist conservative Christian schools. And homeschool, I've found, is the best environment for raising kids. And so the friends of your kids, they're not hanging out at the mall on Friday nights and Saturday nights and Wednesday nights. They're not doing those things. But still, we end up having to tell our kids, no, no, no. And the more wicked our culture becomes, the more good parents look like tyrants. That's why we have an audio tape from a sermon years ago that I gave called Tyrant Dad. And by the way, if you get that from us, if you order that, it comes with a book called Train Up a Child, popular book. And you could call us at 800-8-NYART. Call us at 800-836-9278. And you say, hey, I want to order that tape, Train Up a Child, and I want the book. It comes with the book automatically. The audio tape is called Tyrant Dad. And the book is called Train Up a Child. I think you get both for $19.95. And we'll throw in a Bob and Yurt Live bumper sticker. You know those neat ovals? They look sort of European. And at the bottom of the oval, it says kgov.com, B-E-L, Bob and Yurt Live. You'll like it. Trust me, you'll like it. And we'll get the word out, right? Then you're sitting in traffic. Somebody looks at it. Kgov, kgov.com. It's easy to remember. And that's how the audience grows. Okay. So, sex outside of marriage. If we recriminalized sex outside of marriage, then young people don't grow up to become perverts in epidemic numbers. And this maintenance worker probably would have not gotten to the point in his life where he would seduce this 14-year-old girl. He would have feared for his life instead. I mean, not a certainty, but a real possibility. All right. So, well, I got a little bit more time here. I sent an email to Walmart. And here's what I said. After thinking through the issue, we had a Madeline call us from Texas. We had a Madeline call us from Texas and say, hey, I think we should boycott Walmart because they're selling the Plan B abortifacient pill. So I went to Walmart, and you could put in a comment at their website, and I said, as pastor of Denver Bible Church and a talk show host for 15 years, I'm asking our church families and my audience to stop shopping at Walmart to the best of their ability, because Walmart has decided to become America's number one abortion provider of the littlest living humans. So that was it, short and sweet. We want Walmart to know that there is anger brewing over this decision for them to become America's number one abortion provider. And so we got back an email from Walmart, and they say, you know, we never did sell Plan B until now, and here's why. So after this break, I'll read to you their response. We'll be right back.
At Bob Inyart Live and KGov.com, you'll find literature, audio, and video products that are a must for the library of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection, combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. And don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com. Of any Christian interested in studying the truth of the Bible. You'll find essential material like the plot manuscript, an overview of the whole Bible that will clear up doctrinal issues. Then there's The Tree, a fun audio journey back to the Garden of Eden, where you'll learn about this most famous tree and its impact on humanity. Check out the Mount Moriah video. This video gives evidence for the resurrection combining biblical and secular resources. It's a great witnessing tool. Don't forget the death penalty video. Learn that Jesus advocated the death penalty and learn how God put the death penalty at the heart of the gospel. You can directly help Bob's outreach by subscribing to Best of Bob, Bob's Best 8 Shows of the Month, or build a Bible study library by ordering the monthly Bible albums. There's a lot more, so give us a call at 1-800-8-NYARD. That's 1-800-836-9278. 1-800-836-9278 or KGOV.com.
That's 1-800-836-9278. Michael Savage, what weird thing happened on his show yesterday? We just had an 80-year-old woman call in and said, I heard of Michael Savage yesterday. And that was about it. Then she was gone. She was like an apparition. So if you're aware of something that would disturb an 80-year-old woman on Michael Savage yesterday, call in, let us know. 800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. So Walmart has basically a stock reply that they send out, and I'll read it to you. And what they've done is they've changed their position. They have not been selling Plan B, which is an abortifacient. It's not like RU-46, which is a chemical abortion pill that kills the baby up to 8 weeks. Plan B is not that. Plan B is what's sometimes called emergency contraceptive, where if a woman has sex and then she decides, you know what, if we've conceived a baby, I want to kill it because I don't want a baby, then she'll take Plan B. And if a baby has not been conceived, then there's no baby to kill. And in fact, Plan B could possibly prevent fertilization of an egg. But if a baby has been conceived, if an egg has been fertilized, that's the moment of fertilization when a living human being comes into existence, then the woman who says, you know, I had sex, and if I am now a mom, if I've brought a new little human being into existence, I want to kill it. Then she goes to Walmart and gets Plan B and kills her baby. And so Plan B is an abortifacient, and this will turn Walmart, because of being the world's number one retailer, this will turn Walmart into America's number one abortion provider. So that's real tragic, obviously. Well, the email that I left for Walmart says that as the pastor of Denver Bible Church and a talk show host for the past 15 years, I'm asking our church families and my audience to stop shopping at Walmart to the extent that they are able to, because Walmart has decided to become America's number one abortion provider of the littlest living humans. So their stock reply came back reasonably unrelated to my comments. It's just they noticed Plan B, and so they sent their Plan B response. And it actually deals more with their pharmacist, who they're forcing their pharmacist. If Walmart has an employee who's a pharmacist, spent years preparing to be a pharmacist to serve customers in that profession, and the pharmacist says Plan B kills little human beings, little innocent children, I'm not going to help anyone kill their child. Walmart says, well, that's fine, but you have to tell that customer how they can get Plan B somewhere else to kill their child. So what kind of a policy is that? If someone says, if somebody lived in Germany and says, I'm against killing Jews, I'm not going to kill a Jew. And so their employer says, okay, well, if there's a Jew that needs to be killed, you have to tell the administrator what's another way to kill the Jew. You say, well, I'm not going to kill the Jew, but if you take that gun over there and shoot him yourself, that'll get it done. I mean, morality is no longer relevant. And the main reason in America is because the body of Christ is left the foundation of absolute morality. The body of Christ has bought into situational ethics, moral relativism. As a general rule, that's the direction the body of Christ has gone. So they approve of rulings where federal judges rule you can kill babies with partial birth abortion and focus on the family. For example, I only use them because they're the most responsible, because they influence the greatest number of people. I could use any number of other ministries, and it's the same. They approve of judges who will rule that you can kill babies with partial birth abortion, and you ask them, how can you approve of that? That's murder. And they say, well, that's not relevant. What's relevant is the judge is being consistent with the process, and we advocate the process. Well, shouldn't you tell a judge, do not murder? Oh, no, no, that would be bias on our part. That would make us into hypocrites, because we believe that judges should be consistent with the process and they should submit to the process. Well, shouldn't they fear God and acknowledge the truth and not support the intentional murder of the innocent? Oh, no, 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 no. We believe in separation of church and state, big time. Well, how'd you come to that position? We're Christian leaders. That's how. So anyway, since the body of Christ is so broken morally, then of course our government is broken, the media is broken, and our corporations are broken, with the body of Christ having the most culpability. But now I'll read you the email from Walmart. Our phone number here, 800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278. Thank you for your message. Until recently, Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies sold emergency contraception only in Illinois, where state law required us to do so. In February, a ruling by the State Board of Pharmacy in Massachusetts required all of our pharmacies in the state to stock and dispense the product. Pressure to introduce similar requirements is building in Connecticut and New York, and we expect other states to follow suit. So they're saying, look, we had refused to sell Plan B, but it's not really because we care about killing innocent children. It's just because we thought it was an unwise marketing move, because there might be a protest against us and our revenues might drop. So we refused to sell Plan B, not because we know right from wrong. We don't. Remember, Hillary Clinton used to be on our board of directors. But we refused to sell Plan B because there'd be a protest against us and our revenues might decrease. So then the state of Illinois passed a law and said, look, we're pro-choice, which means you have no choice. You have to sell Plan B because it will kill unborn children. And pro-choice means you'll take away every choice and any choice as long as the outcome is you're going to kill the innocent. So that was the liberals in Illinois who are pro-choice who ruled that way. just like our pro-choice Planned Parenthood, how they approve of China and China's forced abortion program. Why doesn't Planned Parenthood lead the international outrage and protest against China? Planned Parenthood funds China's population control program with grants from the International Planned Parenthood Federation to China, and they rarely utter a peep about China forcing women to have abortions. So if they were pro-choice, they would be outraged and at the front of the battle against China, but they couldn't care less because the choice that they advocate is killing the baby. And if the government says, hey, we're going to force you to kill the baby, the feminists at Planned Parenthood are not all that outraged. Not bad. So anyway, similar in Illinois. Illinois, they're pro-choice, and they're saying, therefore, you have no choice. We're going to force you to sell Plan B. And here's what Walmart should have said. They should have said no, because it's wrong to kill the innocent. We're not going to do it. Now, that's the equivalent of a pipe dream. That's not going to happen. When the body of Christ isn't wise enough or committed to the Lord enough to hold that kind of a standard, what makes us think Walmart will? What makes us think Walmart will? James Dobson and so many of our Christian leaders, like the AFA, Don Wildman and D. James Kennedy, these are men that I love and care about and appreciate, and I look forward to getting to know them in heaven when they probably won't be as mad at me by then. But these guys approve of judges who rule that you can kill unborn children, like Samuel Alito, via partial birth abortion in the year 2000 as a federal judge. And they defend him and they say those are good rulings. Gary Bauer, the president of the Family Research Council, said Samuel Alito's ruling to kill babies in late-term abortion with partial birth abortion, he said Alito's partial birth abortion ruling was exactly what a good judge should do. Now that's evil. That's called moral relativism, effectively, where thou shalt not murder is no longer relevant. It's situational ethics. Is, well, what is the situation? Well, the situation is I'm a federal judge, and I have a chance of being appointed to the Supreme Court. And it might be murder to kill an unborn baby, but my job calls for me to do it, and I want to do it, and I care more about my career. And also, I don't really think right and wrong is relevant. Right and wrong is not relevant. And God is not relevant. I'm a judge. Come on, I'm a judge. I'm not a preacher. I'm a judge. God is irrelevant. The truth is irrelevant. Justice is irrelevant. Right and wrong is irrelevant. The fact that the Constitution says you can't deprive someone of life or liberty without due process is irrelevant. And that means you have to convict them of a capital crime to deprive them of life. And you'd have to convict them of some crime to deprive them of liberty by killing them or some other way. And so we have our Christian leaders who are basically moral relativists, and they approve of killing the innocent intentionally if the process calls for it. And so then you have the Christian influence in America, which is big because there are tens of millions of us and hundreds of thousands of churches and thousands of Christian radio stations. And you have Christian ministries that are on hundreds or thousands of radio stations speaking to millions of people a week. That adds up to some degree of influence. And so they have some influence over our public officials, especially over conservative public officials. And they tell these officials that we will approve of you if you kill the innocent as long as you're consistent with the process. So now we have the state of Illinois, which is especially wicked, and they pass this pro-choice ruling that they force pharmacists to sell abortifacients to kill unborn children. They do that because they're pro-choice. That's why they force pharmacies to sell something they might otherwise not want to sell, because they're pro-choice. And so the state of Illinois passes that law, and here's Walmart. They're a corporation. They're not a governing official. They're not a Christian leader of a major organization, ministry. They're just a business. And so they say, okay, in Illinois, they passed a law saying that we have to dispense abortifacients that kill unborn children. What should we do about it? They look around the boardroom. Hillary's not on the board anymore. But they look around and everybody says, yep, of course we're going to sell Plan B because the system tells us to. And so what? Now is Focus on the Family or the AFA? Are they going to call for a boycott of Walmart because Walmart is obeying the law? How could they do that? They were lobbying for Samuel Alito, who is obeying the law. And they've lobbied for George W. Bush, who is proud of every pro-abortion judge that he has nominated. He's proud of them. His first campaign promise was that he would ignore abortion whenever he was selecting judges. That was the very first campaign promise George W. Bush uttered when he announced he's running for president. And I know because at the time I recorded it. I wrote it down. That's his first campaign promise. Okay, so our Christian leaders no longer have a moral, rock-solid foundation that they stand on. They've lost the moral high ground. They now have the process high ground. They say, we are not hypocrites. We Christians even support judges who intentionally kill the innocent because we're true to the process and we're proud of that. We're not hypocrites. Because if we said, do not murder, we would be hypocrites. How could that make you a hypocrite? You're a Christian. Well, because our true allegiance is to the process. Okay, so now you have Walmart, and Walmart is running pharmacies, 3,700 pharmacies. And Illinois passes this law, and they say, sure, of course we're going to sell Plan B. Of course we are. And now we're waiting for the Christian ministries to come down on Walmart, the big ones, in a ferocious way. To say, look, Walmart is going to become America's number one abortion provider. You can't do that, Walmart. But then Walmart would say to Focus on the Family, you do it. You do it. You do it. When the process says that your people have to kill the innocent, you do it because then you lobby for and you defend your people who kill the innocent. So cut us a break. You're not so concerned about this right and wrong thing. You're concerned about something else. What is it? Oh, it's the process. You want to follow the process. You think that that makes you look more palatable to the public at large. And so you'll get more people agreeing with you and your cause. And so you're willing to support those who intentionally kill the innocent. Well, we're a business. We care about what the majority thinks too. We want them to come to our business. And so we do what the government says, and we're not all that concerned about killing the innocent, just like you're not. So cut us a break. Go boycott the Boy Scouts. Because they don't always follow the process. They resist it. So why don't you guys boycott the Boy Scouts? So that would be Walmart's attitude. And that makes sense, right? That would make sense. They would look at our Christian leaders and say, you don't even care about do not murder if it interferes with your political goals. What are you talking to us for? Talk to somebody else. So then Walmart's email continues. So they said, look, we didn't used to do this, but Illinois passed the law. And now in Massachusetts and in Illinois, it was a law. In Massachusetts, they say the State Board of Pharmacy required our pharmacies to stock and dispense Plan B. So is that a law? But even if Walmart was only complying with the law, then they would kill children in Illinois and Massachusetts. But they said, but you know, Connecticut and New York, they might introduce something like this. It's not been introduced. No bill has been introduced, but they might introduce it. And other states might also. So we're just going to kill babies in every state we operate in. That's our policy. Equal opportunity killers of children. That's the Walmart Plan B. Walmart's Plan A was to become the nation's number one retailer. Walmart's Plan B is to become America's number one abortion provider. So that's Walmart's plan B. So their email continues, in light of these developments, all Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies will immediately begin to kill Jews in our camps. Wait a minute. I read that wrong. In light of these developments, all Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies will immediately begin carrying Plan B, emergency contraception. Plan B. Remember that they had Zyklon what? Zyklon what? Zyklon B. Remember all the Jews that were killed with Zyklon B in Germany? What, in the concentration camps? Well, first they killed them in the hospitals. That's where the first gas chambers were constructed. Then after they killed thousands, how many tens of thousands of patients in Germany, in all kinds of homes for children who had diseases, just brutal, where the Germans killed Germans, not Jews, tens of thousands of Germans in hospitals and institutions. Then they dismantled the gas chambers from the hospitals and they reassembled them in the concentration camps. And once the medical community gets good at killing the innocent, then the political community catches on in a hurry. They say, hey, this is pretty convenient. This is a good way to deal with problems. So Walmart says, in light of these developments, all Walmart and Sam's Club pharmacies will immediately begin to carry Plan B emergency contraception. By Monday, March 20th, that's this week, this past Monday, all of our pharmacies should have received an initial stock. That sounds very efficient, doesn't it? The Germans were so efficient at killing the Jews. You know, it takes a big effort to kill millions of innocent people. It's hard. It's a huge effort. It's very difficult. And you need efficiency. And Walmart is nothing if not efficient. The company is maintaining its conscientious objection policy. Now, what does that mean? They're objecting to selling these child-killing pills? No, that's not what they mean. They're saying if one of our pharmacists objects to killing a child, we'll tell him, okay, you don't have to do it directly. You have to refer the mom to someone else who will kill her child. Get some other child killer in your Rolodex and be ready. So this is this paragraph. The company is maintaining its conscientious objection policy, which is consistent with the tenets of the American Pharmaceutical Association, which is what? Pro RU46, right? Pro-abortion, pro-chemical abortion. This policy, except where prohibited by law, so even this pitiful policy, they don't stand by with any type of conviction of right and wrong. But this pitiful policy of ours, except where prohibited by law, allows any Walmart or Sam's Club pharmacy associate who does not feel comfortable dispensing a prescription for certain medications, including Plan B, emergency contraception, to refer customers to another pharmacist or pharmacy as spelled out in our policy. How's that? 1-800-8-NYART. That's 1-800-836-9278, 800-836-9278. We do require that these associates fulfill their obligation to help customers kill their children by referring them to a, We do require that these associates fulfill their obligation to help customers by referring them to another pharmacy that stocks the product. These decisions have been made after very careful consideration. Oh, yeah. And what do you think on the whiteboard in their boardroom meeting, what are the chances they had up on there, do not murder? and then they evaluated their policy in light of God's command, do not murder. What are the chances of that? Well, let's agree that within a plus or minus of what? Plus or minus 1/10,000 of 1%. Let's agree the chances of that were zero. All right, plus or minus 1/10,000 of 1%. So Walmart at their board meeting did not have written down do not murder, and then they try to figure out if their policy was consistent with do not murder. Now, how do we know the chances of that are zero? Well, ask yourself this question. At the board meeting of America's largest Christian ministries, when they're deciding whether or not to lobby for a judge like Samuel Alito, I'm only using him because he was the last to be nominated by a Republican president to the U.S. Supreme Court. So I'm using him. He's convenient, right? He's current. People remember his name. And what are the chances that our Christian ministries, and I don't mean the ones that are not Christian any longer, like the United Methodist. I don't mean that. I mean the true Christian ministries. What are the chances that they had on their board as their public policy gurus are meeting with their CEOs and the presidents of these ministries and their board of directors, and they have, are we going to lobby for Samuel Alito to be confirmed to the Supreme Court? What are the chances that our Christian ministries have on their boards do not murder? And will our policy then be consistent with do not murder? What are the chances of that? Out there in radio land, what are the chances? Because if they had do not murder, and if they said, you know what, whatever we do politically, it has to be within the confines of God's command, do not murder, because there is no political goal that is worth us violating do not murder in order to achieve some temporary political victory. There is no such goal. So what are the chances that they had do not murder up there in the Christian boardrooms? Well, I would say the chances are somewhere, and this is within a plus or minus 1/1,000 of a percent, somewhere around zero. Somewhere around zero. Because what they believe is that whether a judge issues a ruling to kill the innocent is not what's relevant. What's relevant if the judge is consistent with the process. That is where our loyalty lies. That is what we advocate. That's what we approve of. So if they want us to start stocking Plan B at the Focus on the Family gift shops, I'm sorry, that just slipped out. If they want us to approve of a judge who rules as a federal judge in the year 2000, that was way back in the dark ages, right? That was before they invented the printing press. That was the Old Testament. The year 2000 was so long ago. That was when Samuel Alito was still in junior high. That was so long ago, it's not even considered relevant. So if a federal judge in the year 2000, that was like back in the last century. Forget that. That was in the previous millennium. That was in the last millennium. But depends on how you count it. But so you're expecting us to look into the last millennium to see how does a judge rule on something as, you know, procedural and bureaucratic as do not murder? Come on, that's not relevant. And besides, we approve of Alito's ruling because he was consistent with the process. He killed the innocent in a way that's faithful to his bureaucratic obligation. And his ruling passed constitutional mustard gas. So we approve of him. So if our Christian ministries do not support an absolute commitment to do not murder, what makes us ever think that we're going to influence our governing officials to do that and forget about our corporations? Forget about it. Because the body of Christ is no longer leading from the moral high ground. So I'm glad it's Friday. I need the weekend to recuperate. We'll go to church, Denver Bible Church. You go to church, Lord willing, find a wonderful church where they bring their Bibles. And the pastor warns people against the godless public schools. Hey, we're out of time. We'll see you next week. Do right and risk the consequences.